Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Adriana Cowden of Decaf Digital, and today we are discussing five tips for being an entrepreneur in a post-COVID world to help your agency stand out from the rest. Adriana is a four-time entrepreneur who left corporate America as a chief digital marketing officer. She's led over 150 brands and 30 businesses to success in digital marketing. Her company, Decaf Digital, provides strategy, social media management, and audience intelligence for mid-sized companies in the U.S., and she's been featured in Inc. 500, CNN Money, Fox Business, New York Times, and other media outlets across the globe. Thanks so much for joining us today, Ariana.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
So can you tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I am located in Indianapolis, Indiana, home of the Motorsport Indy Car.
That's awesome. And what motivates or inspires you?
You know, primarily relationships. And so that's one of the reasons I love owning an agency is I keep really close relationships with our clients and our partners. And so really what I focus on is building and maintaining relationships.
That's awesome. I love that. And then how did you get into digital marketing?
So I was pushed into it, actually. I was a head of training for a communications firm called Level 3.
Okay.
And was working with their operations center. And at the time, the senior vice president of marketing came down and was like, I really need just like an A player to come in and join my team. And we had kind of made fun of marketers. We were calling marketeers and just, we were not like a group that loved marketing. And so I was like, well, that's nice. I appreciate that, but not happening. And so finally she tried like every day for a month. And so finally I gave in and went over and became her lead on global marketing.
Okay.
Really focusing on intranet and elevating the sales team. And so I literally kind of stumbled into it. And ironically, it was back in like 1998 or 1999 that it happened.
Okay.
And the whole idea of intranets were really big then. So one of my goals was building an intranet for marketing and sales and the company. So I kind of fell into it, making it digital to start with. I've been in digital marketing now for over 22 years. So it's been, wow. It's been a love of mine.
Wow. That's amazing. So yeah, your coworker sounds like she was pretty persistent. She must've really saw something in you.
Yeah. She just really, I think our personalities really hit it off and she had to work very closely with this person and ending up being me. So I think she wanted someone that she got along with and could trust. And
oh, yeah.
I thankfully had built that relationship or that kind of personality and credibility and respect through the organization.
That's awesome. And then, so how did Decaf Digital come to be?
So I was serving as the chief digital marketing officer for a household name home services and security company. And I had a few opportunities come my way before that role that were consulting opportunities. And I, as you mentioned, I've had a couple of businesses. And so I always keep my ears and eyes open, but I was really enjoying my role. And what happened was I ended up sick. I ended up getting diagnosed with pancreatic disease and was spending a lot of time in the hospital or working from bed, things like that.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, you know, to really put my health first, it would work better if I could determine my own schedule and determine my own work pace and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so after some time, I left that organization and started Decaf Digital. And it's just been a whirlwind of a wonderful ride since. We're 5 years old this year. So that's made it past the big mark that most people try to get through. And that's good.
That's awesome. And no health issues now?
I actually, I won't delve into them, but I actually have 9 chronic diseases and have had 27 procedures in the last 5 years.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, kudos to you for, you know, powering through it and creating such a successful business.
Yeah, it's been back to that point about what motivates you. Really owning this agency and running it and working in it has been what motivates me to get out of the hospital, get out of bed, get up every day, keep it going. I absolutely love working. And so this is my passion, not just, you know, something for a paycheck. Yeah. And so it really helped me heal faster from surgeries and really just motivated me to keep going.
That's awesome. That's really good to hear. Well, let's delve into our topic. So today we're going to be discussing 5 tips that your agency can use to help stand out from your competition in these uncertain times post-COVID. So our first tip that you'll be talking about is finding new markets to advertise in to sell your services. So can you break that down for us?
Yeah. So for example, at least here in the US, COVID has really done a number on the economy. And so a lot of employers are struggling to find workers, to find employees. And, you know, I worked with a partner agency, and what we did was create a campaign where they targeted small businesses that were having trouble hiring and help them leverage social media to fill some of those positions. So you have to kind of find these new markets. Even if you're an agency that focuses on small businesses and a lot have gone out of business or that primarily was in the restaurant industry, find the areas that are repeatable in your business where you can really create that same set of success in a different industry or a different niche, so that your agency isn't just reliant on one or two markets, but you expand. And so we've really looked at that as an opportunity to focus new markets, focus new services. And when Decaf started, we did everything from websites to content to SEO to PPC and social media. We did everything. Okay. And we did it for everyone. And what we really found was that social media was where we excelled the best and where people really were hiring us primarily. So we created a smaller niche for ourselves. And instead of being everything to everyone, we really focused in on social media and strategy for, in particular, mid-sized businesses. But that was a new market for us. We had been working with Fortune 100 companies and small businesses. It was kind of a very opposite type of clientele. But we really hadn't talked to the mid-market. And so we really looked at, like, what can the mid-market offer that we can, what do they have as a need that we can solve for them?
Okay, that's super interesting. Great. And then so the second tip is to embrace online networking. So this is huge now with our whole world of Zoom. So explain this for us.
Yeah, so this is everything from, like, focus on your LinkedIn profile. Make sure your LinkedIn profile is active. You have a really attractive picture, and it doesn't have to be a headshot. It can even be your family, but just something that really shows your personality. Mm-hmm. Use the LinkedIn banner profile header so that it tells something about your business or something about you personally. And really make sure that your LinkedIn summary talks about who you are and what you do. I've got over 5,000 connections on LinkedIn, and that doesn't mean I know everyone personally, but I do look at everyone who requests to connect. I look through their whole detailed profile and find out, would it be of value to connect to this person? Mm-hmm. And most of those connections came in the past 18 months since COVID started. Wow. Now, I will say there are a bunch of, like, LinkedIn aggregators and automated dashboards that will help you do this. And I encourage you to use one so you're not spending all day sending, like, 65 messages on LinkedIn to hopefully get 2 responses.
Yes.
So definitely embracing technology when you look at networking. And the other thing is, like, just because you can't meet someone in person doesn't mean you can't do a coffee Zoom. So I set up 3 coffee Zooms a week, every 3 mornings a week, and start my day off that way. And it's just a good way. Yeah, it's just a good way to, like, connect with people, and at least you still get to see them and you're building rapport.
Yeah, exactly. And are these, you know, like, potential leads, or are these, it could just be anyone that you connect with that you think you might be able to either, like, mentor, or, you know, you work in the same industry, or you could potentially serve as a client?
Yeah, they're, to your point, they're kind of all over the place. Yesterday I met with someone that many people would presume to be a competitor, but we ended up really hitting it off, and he works primarily with small business. So that's actually a great partner for us, not a competitor.
Yeah, absolutely. You can refer them business and business, mm-hmm, probably.
Exactly. Friday, I have a coffee meeting with someone that is heavily involved in the autism area. Mm-hmm. And I have a stepdaughter that's high functioning autistic. So it's not just, we were connected through business, but for me, it's a really exciting opportunity to see what he does in that realm. So, you know, I mix them up. And then typically once a week, I work with someone that's a mentor, or I'm mentoring them, a mentee, and work with them at least once a week. I get in one of those meetings.
Okay. And then do you attend any, you know, masterminds or larger networking groups, anything like that?
So I haven't since COVID, and due to my health conditions, I'm still pretty leery of going out and being in person with, you know, with events.
Yes.
But I have done a number of virtual conferences, and I notice a lot of people are doing virtual master classes too. So those are definitely things I embrace and have done that. I have one next week while I'm out of town that I'm joining, and they're actually doing a vaccinated only in-person event, but because I'm out of town, they're also opening it up to Zoom.
Okay.
So yeah, so I do things like that, and that's a the Downtown Indianapolis partnership. So that's just expanding locally.
Okay, and you've had some good success meeting some interesting people through there?
Absolutely, yeah. It's really interesting because we get together to talk about how to elevate the experience of living and working in downtown Indianapolis. Okay. And so it's good to be both a resident and a business owner. It helps a lot. And I meet a lot of different people that are in that same realm where they're business owners and residents.
Okay, great. All right. Well, let's move on to the third tip, which is to lean into social media. So explain this one to us.
Yeah. You know, social media has been on the growth or on the boom for a number of years. But for many companies, they just don't know what to do on social media. What do I post? How do I post it? How often do I post it? Which social channels? So in this one, I really say get some expertise, but lean into social media for your agency. Because even if what you do is like you're an expert in web dev, then people are going to find you through social media. Mm-hmm. And whether it's Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, TikTok, I mean, they're changing daily. And I think one of the best things to do when you lean into social media is really identify the networks that work well for your agency.
Yes.
So we do Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. We also do Instagram. But that, again, is because we're a social media agency. We have to be out there.
Yeah.
A lot of agencies can really focus. If you're a B2B, LinkedIn is going to be extremely good for your business.
Yes,
extremely absolutely. Good for your business. And if you're a creative agency, then obviously Instagram is going to be amazing for you. It is a lot pay to play now when it comes to like Instagram and Facebook. But mm-hmm. if you use Instagram Reels, you'll actually get more views and more engagement and more traffic site than a plain Instagram posts or even just paid posts. And then try out new things. I mean, TikTok is, I'll be frank, not my favorite app, but a lot of people use it. And if your target market is that millennial market or younger,
yes.
that's definitely where you want to be.
Yes.
And it's known for being low quality production. You don't need to hire a production company to do TikTok videos. They're literally known to be low production. And the other thing I would say is if you're just kind of still scared about it, bring on a brand ambassador or an influencer. You don't have to spend $15,000 to get an influencer for one post. You know, a lot of them are only influential in one social network, so you can partner with a few of them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can even barter services, which is a great way to do it when you're a smaller agency.
Okay, interesting. And then, so for, you mentioned that, you know, Facebook is really pay to play now. Are you utilizing your personal profile or is it sort of strictly your business when you're advertising your agency?
I use strictly my business when I'm advertising the agency. We have business manager, Facebook business manager mm-hmm. that we manage both our account and then client accounts through, particularly for paid ads.
Yes.
But we keep them very separate. The one area, the one network, social network where they combine is really LinkedIn because that's more about you as an individual than your business. So we do have a business page and we update that and put posts out, but that's really where you become the face of your agency. And so I use that a lot. But when it comes to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, we have totally separate accounts that we use for the agency, for DCAP Digital.
Okay. Great. Okay. So next up, we have to create relevant content. So explain this.
Yeah. So I think most agencies have a blog, and if they don't, I would recommend that they do. It's a easy way to get some SEO achievement. But I would also say produce to just like what you're doing, do a podcast, elevate your blog, find some experts that want to be featured in writing, and get them to do a guest blog. You can also write a quick ebook. And if you're not a great writer, there are plenty of writers that are happy to help with those. There's even templates in Canva. I mean, you can really make it pretty easy. And you can even create a course. So you can become a content creator. You can create a course about something your agency does. So like 5 tips to elevate your web design, or 3 ways to create an infographic. I mean, you can create courses and ebooks on anything and everything.
Yeah.
And so be a content creator, create that relevant content, and really hyper focus it on your market. So if your market is small business, you definitely want to be like, well, here are 10 social media tips for small business, or here are 100 content ideas specific for product-based businesses. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're creating, I mean, again, you can use it as a lead magnet. You can use it for something you sell. You can use it as a download. There are just so many different options. But you definitely want to be creating that relevant content to get out there, so you're not just posting and forgetting it.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, having a podcast is a great way to network.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you connect with so many interesting people. So yes, I definitely recommend, yeah, to anyone, definitely start a podcast. It's so cool.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah. And so how do you boost your audience engagement when you're posting things on social, when you're posting this content and sharing it? Do you have any tips for boosting that audience engagement?
Yeah. So one, make sure you have good creative. And again, I don't have any relationship to Canva other than a user, but Canva makes that really, really easy. So really great, compelling creative, one. Mm-hmm. Two, brand all your creative. So make sure that your brand mark or logo is on every post you put out, so that if someone wants to be inspired by it, maybe they share it instead of stealing it. Yeah. And then ask questions and do polls. Polls do very, very well, as do when you ask questions.
Great.
And people want their opinion heard. They want to engage with you. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of making sure that you're asking the right kinds of questions or doing the right types of polls, and then following them up to be like, well, here was the results of the polls. You know, this poll we took, you know, it looks like 36% of people do want to work from home, 43% want a hybrid, whatever that poll is, follow up with the results of it. Okay. And then lastly, look at the statistics and analytics on each of the networks. Facebook will show you when you have the most active population, post during those times. Use a scheduler to post your social media. If you have a Facebook group, you can automatically delay the posts. Same thing with Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. But we use CoSchedule for a lot of our clients, or Buffer, where you can schedule out your posts. Schedule them a week in advance so you don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I have to do my social media post today.
Yes.
And you can also choose the time. So when you find out, like Facebook, they're most active at 7 a.m., but on Twitter, they're most active at 10 a.m., you can post them at 2 different times.
Yeah, makes so much sense. That's super helpful. All right. So our final tip that you are going to be sharing with us today is to be flexible and adaptable. So explain that to us.
Yeah. So this goes back a little bit to finding new markets. You definitely want to be flexible about the services you're offering and adapt to what the market is speaking to. Like we did at Decaf Digital, we really saw the market was speaking to our social media offerings, our strategy offerings. Mm-hmm. So we really refreshed everything to be social media intensive. And we really leaned into that. But this even goes to how you're staffing your agency. You know, we used to all be based in Indianapolis. Now my team is all over the country. It's like, I have someone in Florida, I have someone in Detroit, I have someone in Chicago. I mean, they're everywhere.
It's so common now. Yeah.
It is very common. And the thing that's great about that is if you're flexible with where someone works, you get the best talent because you're not restricted to your geography.
Totally.
So, I mean, I have some amazing talent on my team that I would not be able to have if I required them to live in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it just opens that pool right up.
Absolutely. It definitely does. And people are, I think once they work with you and get used to it, let's say you just want to be flexible and remote opportunity for a year and then reevaluate, people are very open to that right now.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
So how does Decaf Digital, how do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors?
So a couple of ways. One, our service is impeccable and people can always get a hold of me and they feel like, okay, if I can get a hold of the CEO, I know I'm going to be able to get my results. Two, we are a data-driven agency. So we use data to drive all of our decisions, all of our client work, everything. We rely heavily on data. So it's not guesswork, which a lot of social media agencies are kind of fly by the seat of their pants, which is not bad. It's just we use data, so it's a lot more specific.
Yeah.
And then three, our team is how we differentiate. We really have an excellent team. It's an average of 15 years of expertise, specifically in social media. So we're well-versed. We've got a slew of awards from best omnichannel campaign to best in class for retail for social media. So we really have been able to elevate our service offerings for our clients, but we also keep them very affordable. And I think that's the final thing is we don't try and gouge our clients with high agency rates. We know we're based in Indianapolis, so we know we're in a mid-market and we have to keep our rates affordable for mid-market. Which is interesting because none of our clients, actually one of our clients is Indianapolis based, but the rest of them are all over the country. So I don't know how we end up with clients all over the place, but Nevada to Texas, we've got them all.
That's really cool. Nice.
Yeah.
So where do you see Decaf Digital in 5 years' time?
So, you know, I expect us to go global in the next 12 to 18 months. I'm sorry, 6 to 18 months, maybe the beginning of 2022.
Okay.
And so I really see us as more of a global player with a second office in the UK and expanding our capabilities on that level. And that's really because of the nature of the work that we do. I mean, social media are global networks, so yes. We don't have to constrict ourselves to just the United States. Now, regulations and such are a little bit different in each country, so that's a little challenging.
Yes.
But we're well-versed, so we're excited to do that. So I think for us, it's going to be keeping our niche of social media and strategy and data, and then really expanding that on a global level for mid-sized companies.
That's very exciting. I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah, we can't wait. We have one client in the hopper that we're working on some branding with a partner agency with right now. And they're looking to roll out a huge social media campaign over the next 3 years or kind of a refresh of all their social media. And they're a global client. So we would actually have someone in the UK and then someone in Tokyo.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly. But first, I have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions for you. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So one of my favorite books is The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. Mm-hmm. It's really about the law of attraction and that there's a bigger power at play in the universe. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a firm believer that thoughts become things and there is a greater plan for what you're achieving in life.
Yes.
And to this day, I have vision boards, like literally on the side here in my office. And then I have them on my phone. I just think it's a good way to keep your goals in front of you and your eye focused on the long term.
Yes.
And whether that's professional or personal, I have, you know, my vision board has got everything from professional to personal to relationships to money. It's got everything on there.
Yeah.
So it's really about connecting to that law of attraction and a greater power driving what's happening.
That's cool. I love that. And what does your morning routine look like?
So it's pretty set in stone. I have a fur baby, so he likes to wake me up early. And he turns 13 next week and he is still a bundle of joy. So first I wake up, I take the dog for like a 15-minute walk, grab a cup of coffee, check emails just to see if there's anything urgent to respond. And then I do some meditation and exercise, whether it's yoga, bar, cycling, some type of exercise. And then, you know, get ready for the day and head into the office. And I'm always in the office by 8:30 or 9. But it's a pretty busy morning routine, but it's very centering for me.
Yeah, it sounds like you would definitely be starting your day off on the right foot. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, the one who I follow most is Warren Buffett. One of my hobbies is investing in stocks. And so he's definitely the guy that knows how to do that the best. But I've learned so much from his approach. I mean, you have to have a great appreciation for anyone who works into their 90s and finds a partner like Charlie Munger, who's also in his late 90s, to keep working with you that for the that many decades.
Yeah.
And he is still connected to the business. It's not like he's checked out. I mean, he writes a detailed shareholder letter every year that I love to read. Mm-hmm. And he's also, despite how wealthy he is, he's very down to earth. I mean, he still eats at like Wendy's and drinks Coke. And I mean, he is just as simple as you can be for being as successful as he is.
Yeah.
And so I think he's a good model for like not letting success go to your head. And even though you're successful, staying in what you love to do for work.
Yeah. And he has a huge love of reading. He really
does.
He really promotes like ongoing learning and reading, which is really inspiring as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is your favorite online tool?
Well, this is not going to come as a surprise. It's Canva. and it's because anyone can use it. I mean, it is so easy to create any kind of design that you need, to create a lead magnet, to create a presentation. I mean, Canva is really such a diverse tool. We have a pro account, but it's like $13 a month. It's no big deal.
I know, for all incredible. Of the,
it is unbelievable. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking when I didn't invent Canva, but whoever did a good job. It is definitely my favorite tool to use. And it doesn't matter if it's a client presentation or if it's a lead magnet or if it's just a post for social. We use it for everything.
Yeah. And I feel like people that use Canva love it and talk about it a lot. So like they've definitely done something right over there.
They definitely have.
What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
To stress less and enjoy more, that with time, everything happens. You know, in my 20s and 30s, I worked 80, 90 hour weeks. I was working like 6 a.m. to midnight and staying at hotels so I'd be close to the office. I mean, I was just a nut job. And now that I'm midway through my 40s, I've learned what I love to do and to outsource the rest.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm not a big fan of accounting, not surprising. I'm a marketer, but, you know, so I have a great accountant, a great bookkeeper, and I have an amazing executive assistant that is like my right hand. And so I've really learned to lean into what you love so that you can stress less and enjoy more and to create that life balance. I don't really call it work-life balance because I'm always working. When you own a business, you're always working.
Yes.
But I just call it life balance.
Yeah. I actually just did an episode. It's called Life-Work Integration.
Yeah.
And it just talks all about that. It's not balance. It's actually like scheduling in that time in your day for you. So that you can play the long game. You know, you're going to proactively work to avoid burnout and have a satisfying, fulfilled life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Latin. So I naturally want a siesta. And so every day at 3 to 3:30, I stop working and go and rest, primarily because I also have some serious health challenges, and then log back on around 6:30 or 7.
Yeah.
And that kind of schedule works really well for me. And I know it allows me to be fresh again at the end of the day.
That's cool. That's cool that you found that schedule that works for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. That was a really great conversation that we had.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.